We left off yesterday with three kashas, three gemaras, and also three kashas. A gemara in Megillah, another gemara in Megillah, and a gemara in Menachos. Problem number one, two gemaras in Megillah each speak of equating Megillah to Sefer Torah, but the gemaras use two different terms. What were the two terms? From the back right. Give me one term the Gemara used to, the Megillah used to describe itself as being like a Sefer Torah. Yeah, Yonah. Emes. Gevaldik. Gevaldik. Divrei Shalom ve'emes. Fantastic. And what was the other term? Sefer. Oh. Ah, good. So number one, and the two contexts, the Gemara uses two different terms, both that appear in the closing psukim of Perek Tes, to equate the Megillah to self, where the Megillah self-styles as a Sefer Torah. It's called Emes, Kamit Shal Torah, and Nikra Sefer. So problem number one is, why do you need two different psukim? What was problem number two?
One place it says Emes, but the other one just says the Sefer.
The other one is.
Oh, and the other one here was half and half. And here it's
100%. He said, Divrei Shalom Emes, 100%. The Legabe what, by the way? Legabe what did? Divrei Shalom Emes, 100% like a Sefer Legabe? Sirtut. Whereas Igaras, as you said, tells me it's only half like a Sefer Legabe. Good. Legabe Tfir Begidim. Legabe Tfir Begidim. So why we need two words? And, Lechara, it's not, I was fully like a Sefer Torah, it's not fully like a Sefer Torah. And then, yeah.
Also, how is this like a Sefer Torah?
Oh, good. We looked at Menachos in the sugi of Sirtut, and what we saw was mezuzah needs, and what does not need? What? No. Tefillin. Tefillin Gemara says, "Comes to Maskana, mezuzah needs Sirtut halacha lo shesina." Sefer Torah of Tefillin does not need Sirtut. And what did Gemara say about Sefer Torah? Nothing. Sefer Torah is not mentioned whatsoever. So that is strange. So kasha number one. Kasha number two. Kasha number three. So Tosfos has a solution to all this. What's Tosfos' solution? Tosfos' solution begins with which Tosfos appears in Menachos Daf and Beis Beis, but Tosfos' solution begins with this word. This word in Tazayin Beis. And the Gemara says, the Megillah says Emes, and the Gemara says that what does Divrei Shalom Emes teach me? That Megillah needs Sirtut like Amita Shal Torah, So it says Tosfos, take a look inside. Ah, Rashi, let's start with Rashi. Rashi there, Alatar, on location, Shkoyach. Rashi in Tezayim Beis, the top of the second column, Kamita Shal Torah, by the Rabbi Kiva Eger bullet, Kesefer Torah Atzmo, like a Sefer Torah itself. And that's why there's a Rabbi Kiva Eger bullet right there, telling you look in Tosfos, because Tosfos disagrees with Tosfos and Menachos, you got nowhere to look. That's why you need Rabbi Kiva Eger, or the Brisker Rav, to tell you, well, if you want to see who disagrees with this Rashi, in Megillah Tezayim, double your numbers and switch to Menachos. Menachos Lamebeis Lamebeis. Here you have a Tosfos. And the last wide line at the top of Tosfos. Actually, the second wide line. Tosfos makes a comment. Lo hayu regilin l'sartet. Tosfos Menachos Lamebeis Lamebeis. Lo hayu regilin l'sartet sefer Torah u'tfilin. Kevin Globova Sirtut. He said there's nothing wrong with writing a Sefer Torah or Tefillin on a lined parchment, but it wasn't done because there's no reason to. It doesn't require it.
Parakama de Shabbos, kol apatim radavar vaoseyu nikra hedyot. If you do something which is meaningless, there's no reason to do it, you do it anyways, you're called a hedyot. You're called a hedyot. So you think of hedyot as not being such a bad thing. I'm a Kohen hedyot. I like being a hedyot. But hedyot actually means, well, I'm not sure it quite means exactly what the parallel word in English is, but what word in English is cognate to hedyot?
Huh?
Idiot, yeah. The hedyot at the very least means a lower level person. A lower level. Kohen hedyot is just saying you're a lower level Kohen than a Kohen Gadol. Which, okay, glad to have whatever degree of Kuhn I have. But it's time to call someone a hedyot means that you're a person of reduced stature, or perhaps reduced intelligence, or reduced wisdom. So the Yerushalmi says to stop doing things for no good reason is silly. And it's less than just zero. To do something, now again, for a different time, the obvious kashi I'm asking to Yerushalmi is, you mean every, to Yerushalmi is against all chumras. Any midas chasidas just went out the window. You're an idiot if you have any chumrah? Really? Is that what Yerushalmi just said? It's pretty wild. So the answer, of course, lies in, we are learning Masechet Bava Basra this year. So in Iyum we're learning Cheska Batzim, but in Bekiyus we're learning the first parak. And the first Amud of the Masechta, where the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Gemara talk about Minhag HaMedina, and what's an Afkamin telling me how thick the walls are supposed to be if Hakol Minhag HaMedina. So the Rishonim explain, the Bali Tosfos explain, that if even though the Mishnah said you follow whatever the local practice is, still, as the Gemara indicates, there are maxima. If the minig is to have a tefach and a half, two tefachim, two and a half tefachim, whatever it is, up until the maximum. But if the maximum for that particular material is three tefachim, or four tefachim, or five tefachim, if the minig is to do even more than that, you do not follow the minig. Why? That's what the Mishnah is saying. Why not? Hakol k'minig ha-medina? The answer is because that's a minig shtus. It's a silly, meaningless minig. Now, we have the minig to build, again, you talk about a simple fence between neighbors with 5 feet width, 5 feet depth of reinforced concrete. That is absurd. If Nebuch, you worry about an incursion by an attacking country, Rahman al-Islam, which is on our minds, what's going on in Ukraine? Yeah, so then you do need to build supporting walls of feet and feet of rebar, and halvai, that should help. But a wall between neighbors does not need multiple feet of rebar. That's absurd. So the Mishnah, Rishonim point out that the Gemara is understanding the Mishnah. That if you have a minig that's silly, that has no meaning to it, so then that's not binding. Minhagim are binding, chumras are meaningful when they're meaningful. There has to be some kiyum. This is what we do for no good reason. That's silly. So that's what Tosfos quotes in Yerushalmi. Stam, there's no reason to be misartate parchment for Sefer Torah, for tefillin, to say, well, I'm going to do it anyways. You think you're being machmir, you're just wasting your time. At best, it's a zero. And really, it's less than a zero, because nicker head you. That's not a breath, that's not a bentire. B'nai Torah don't do silly things. B'nai Torah do meaningful things. Number one, we live the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live. Number one, where we seek to misgavro our yitzar to do the right thing. And then, at times, there will be meaningful midos chasidus, which are not obligatory, but further the spirit of the law. Further kiyumim in the halachic system. But just stam to do things because we do them, that's nikra hedyot. So that's what Tosfos says. They're explaining that as pshat in the Gemara. I don't want to get involved in that part of the Gemara right now, but that's Tosfos' starting point. That they didn't do sirtut. You can assume that they were dafka not doing sirtut on parchment that was meant for Sefer Torah tefillin, because to volunteer that for no good reason it would be nikra hedyot. And then he quotes a sefer you should be aware of. V'seder Rab Amram Mivio. That's the first sitter on record, I believe, or the first significant sitter on record is Seder of Amram Gon. They sent Avraham was a Gon. Gon means Rosh Hashiva of one of the two major yeshivas in Bavel. Post Chasimas HaTalmud, Ravina Ravashi and the next generation close up the Marbar Ravashi. They close up the Talmud Bavli and the Tekufas Amoraim around the year 500-550. A couple of generations of Savoraim, one, two, three generations of Savoraim who are dying all the I's and crossing all the T's. And then you have a couple of hundred years, around 500 years, 400 or 500 years, that the yeshivas in Bavel continue to not only function, but be the primary yeshivas for Klal Yisrael, after Chasima Satalman. At that period, the Rashi yeshiva of Sura and Pumpadisa were known as Gaonim, at Pumpadisa in particular. I'm not sure that Sura lasted the whole way through, but Pumpadisa was functional all the way through. The Rosh Yeshiva, the Yeshiva was the official name of the Yeshiva. They called it Pumpadisa. But it had a name. The name of the Yeshiva was apparently Gaon Yaakov. So the Rosh Yeshiva is Rosh Yeshiva's Gaon Yaakov. But that got shortened to Gaon, as in Rav Hai Gaon, and Rav Sadi Gaon, and Rav Amram Gaon, and Rav Netronoi Gaon, and Rav Achoi Gaon. Gaon was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva, I think specifically in Pumpadisa, if I remember correctly, maybe Surah also. So over that period, from around the year 500, 550, until around the year 1000, the yeshivas in Bavel were the primary, the Shteya yeshivas, those two yeshivas were the primary center of Torah in the world, but it was after Chasimus HaTalmud. They're no longer Amoraim, but not yet Rishonim. Rishonim is when the center of gravity moves to Europe and the Mediterranean. Gaonim. So over the course of the period of the Gaonim, they wrote the first Siddur. They wrote the first Siddur because someone from an outlying community sends a shayla to the yeshiva, could you please tell us how to daven? Because davening was, as the Gemara in Shabbos indicates, kosvei brachas, the Gemara says, a very terrible thing. The tkufas hatadam, certainly, they did not write down the Siddur, they did not write down brachas, that was part of the Tarsh Baal Peh, that was kept Baal Peh. But at a certain point, they said, kishem, they wrote down Mishnayos, wrote down Gemara, we better write down the Siddur. And they get a shayla in Pumbedisa, I believe it was, from an outlying community, can you please tell us how to daven? And Rav Amram Gaon responds, it was quite a tshuva. The tshuva was, let me write out the Siddur for you. So he writes out the whole nusach of daven, weekday, Shabbos, Yantif, etc., together with some dinim. So the practice that you'll find, let's say, that was very popular in the 1700s, where the Nesivus wrote his own Siddur called Derech HaChaim with halachic comments, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch wrote his own Siddur with halachic comments, the Alter Rebbe Siddur. That already goes back to the, and Bizman HaZeh, maybe you're more familiar with, whichever your preferred Siddur is in Hebrew or English, be it Art Scroll or Koran or whatever it is, has halachic comments telling you what to do here and there. That minigadli goes back to the very first Siddur. That's what Tosis is quoting. Seder of Amram Gaon. Seder of Amram Gaon, this isn't part of the Nusach of Davening, but he gives you some dinim. So in Seder of Amram Gaon Siddur, he quotes this Yerushalmi called Patron Davar of Dalsev Nikra Hedyot. Or maybe he means Seder of Amram Gaon quotes, you gotta take a look. Does he mean Seder of Amram Gaon quotes this assumption that you're not Mesarte Tefillin and Mezuzah? Say for Torah and Tefillin. And then he says, aha! The whole time being a Perisopher come in the Megillah! How am I saying that there's no Sirtor to say for Torah? I had to give her a Megillah. The third narrow law in Tosfos Menachos Lamed Beis on Beis, he said, how could I say there's no Sirtut on a Sefer Torah? I've been to Gemara Megillah Tazayin on Beis. So he says, very simple. Very simple. Lokomosha Pirshon Bekuntris. The answer is, I disagree with the Rashi's Pshat. The Gemara didn't say Sefer Torah. It did. No, it didn't. It said, not like Rashi explained that Mitzvah Torah, the Ma'ariv is Sefer Torah Mavish, Ela the Mezuzah Ka'amar. No, it's a reference to Mezuzah, says Rav Tam. That's what a Mitzvah Torah means.
Why is it called that? The most obvious question is, why are you calling Mezuzah a Mitzvah Torah? The most fundamental question is, why are you interpreting the language the way you're interpreting it? So Rashi said, Torah, I mean the truth of Torah is referenced to the Sefer Torah. Okay, it seems like a pretty straightforward shot. Tosfos is saying, no. A Mishnah Torah means mezuzah. So we're about to see that's going to be a very helpful shot in many ways. But first, you have to figure out, it's very nice you want to say that, but how does it fit the language? Why is mezuzah called the truth of Torah? There's so much else in Torah besides mezuzah. So the answer is, because it has the core ikari amunah. She yamita shal Torah she yesh ba Kabbalah's all Malchus Shamayim. He says mezuzah has a kori kari emuna, achdus habori and core mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs that the Rambam, the mitzvahs the Rambam has at the beginning of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Yichud habori and avas Hashem. The whole Kabbalah's all Malchus Shamayim. The second parsha is about Schar V'Yomish in general, about Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and it talks about Tefillin, it talks about Mezuzah, it talks about a lot. It talks about Mitzvahs as a whole. It talks about Limud HaTorah. So this is, in a certain sense, you know, the Rambam is famous for putting together a list of the 13 Yisodei HaTorah, Ikari Emuna, but what Tosas is pointing out is Mezuzah already is that concept. Not as I just articles of belief, but core ideas and core mitzvahs. And he says, and the Gemara, what Tosfos says, the Gemara was sensitive to that. The Gemara understands that Mordechai and Esther were sensitive to the fact that mezuzah is the core concepts of Judaism, and that's why Mordechai and Esther refer to mezuzah, according to Tosfos, as a mitzvah of Torah. Because it's the core truths, the central truths of Torah. Oh, so what? What? Okay, good. One second. So says, and then Tosa goes on to add another phrase. K'demucha chacha de mezuzah by a sirtut, as it's clear here, the mezuzah does require sirtut. What did Tosa just accomplish with those five words? He's talking about Ha'ara number 3. The Gemara here never said the Sefer Torah requires Sirtut. It did say that Mezuzah requires Sirtut, so it's not surprising at all when the Gemara is looking for a marker for Sirtut that you would be plugging the Megillah, not into Sefer Torah, but into Mezuzah. Okay, so with that phrase, once you're sensitive to what the problems are, you see the richness of Tosis. And those five words, Uki demucha chacha de Mezuzah by a Sirtut, Tosis speaking to what we were calling Kasha number 3. And then he goes on to explicitly talk about some of the other kashas. Let's take a look. Vatena! He says, you should know. But Tosa says, Vatena, what are they trying to do? According to Tosis, the Gemara is talking about mezuzah. Tosis says you should know that that's true because even sefer Torah kapir shakuntres ha'ilo lijosh min the nikre sefer. Why aren't we that was kasha number 1? Why do we need MS to mean Sefer Torah? We already have Sefer to mean Sefer Torah. The same way that we learned Tfir Beginin from Sefer, we could have learned Sirtut from Sefer. Elamai, it must be that this is not a reference to Sefer Torah. And by the way, why didn't we? Okay, so this reference to Mezuzah, but who needs it? Why don't you use Sefer to learn Sirtut from Sefer Torah? The answer Tosa says is because Sefer Torah doesn't actually require Sirtut. If machlok is halacha l'maisa, it's not only machlok is how to read the words of the Gemara. How machlok is halacha l'maisa between Rashi and Tosas, does it say for Torah require sirtut or not? The Gemara was clear that Mezuzah does. The Gemara was clear that Tefillin do not. The Gemara was a little ambiguous. The part of the Gemara we saw didn't talk about Sefer Torah at all, very strikingly, when it gives you the Hilchasa. Tosas, the beginning of Tosas was assuming that earlier part of the Gemara was indicating that Sefer Torah also does not. Certainly the Gemara doesn't say clearly that you do need. So that's a that's actually, it's not just a question mark, it's a machlokas Rashi and Tosis. Rashi says yes. Tosis says no. So Mimele Tosis says you cannot learn, not just that we don't learn Sirtut on a Megillah from Sefer Torah, you cannot learn Sirtut on a Megillah from Sefer Torah because Sefer Torah doesn't have Sirtut. If you're looking for a source for Sirtut, the only source, says Tosis, is Mezuzah. So not surprisingly, the dinim that we learn from the Sefer Torah come from the word Sefer. The dinim that we learn from Mezuzah, namely Sirtut,
comes from a different word, emes. Sefer is means like a Sefer Torah. Emes means like a mezuzah. Sirtun is only a din in mezuzah according to Tosis. It's not a din in Sefer Torah. Tosis holds that Sefer, when you write a Sefer Torah, you don't need Sirtun. We leaned an hour or two ago in multiple binyanim. So all the Balei Kriya and all those who got aliyahs may have paid attention. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you weren't paying attention, you weren't sensitized to it. The next time you get an aliyah, the next time you lane, you'll notice, does the Sefer Torah have Sirtut? The answer is yes, absolutely, all the way through. That's the position of Rashi. Tosis held. Sefer Torah doesn't need Sirtut. They go on to say over the course of Tosis, well, maybe he needs a box. Maybe you have to make one box, but definitely not every line. To have full Sirtut, every single line is already scored with a razor. That is, according to Tosis, only required a mezuzah. According to not Sefer Torah, according to Rashi, even required on Sefer Torah. Now, before we take questions, let's think about the questions we had before. So Tosis solves, the truth is, all three questions. They mention two of the three, they solve the third one also. Number one, it's not in the order we originally presented them. But in the order of Tosfos, number one, we know why the Gemara didn't mention the Hilchasa Sefer Torah Kar Sirtut, because it doesn't. We know why Tosfos says why you need the two different terms, a Sefer and Emes, because they mean two different things. Emes isn't telling you like a Sefer Torah. Emes means like a mezuzah. Okay, so of course you need two different terms. And finally, the second question, Tosis didn't directly address right over here, but obviously falls into place also. The fact that in your test we say it's only someone like a Sefer Torah, because Igeris is the counter pressure, but in Daf Tezayim just said, MS, yeah, that's not a stira, because here it's fully like a mezuzah, it's somewhat like a Sefer Torah. Tosis would say, look, Sirtut you can only learn from mezuzah, because they think Sirtut does not apply to Sefer Torah, and Tfir Begidin, why didn't we learn Tfir beginning from mezuzah? Right. Trick question. There is no Tfir on the mezuzah. Mezuzah is one piece of parchment. So you're looking at that binding, of course you look at a Sefer Torah. And in that we say, chatzi chatzi. It's halfway. It's snicker sefer, vinicker sigaris. There's a tension. And you're looking for dinam of sirtut, there you look to mezuzah, MS, and there is no counter pressure. Check. So for Tosis, everything falls into place.
What about Rashi?
Rashi is a good kasha. That was your question? Yeah. That was your question. How do you defend Rashi? Yeah?
Just a separate question. According to Tosis, why wouldn't you be able to put down search of just so it's easier to write? Like, wouldn't it be difficult to write on, like, a massive piece of parchment without, like, lines?
What if you left? Also, recognize the picture real quick of the board?
We will. Go ahead. So Avidan, Avir Nitzchak Dan, is asking an interesting question. You ask a question at the beginning. Tosis said it earlier, according to Yerushalmi, called Patim Adavar Osev Nikar Hedyot, so it would be silly and pointless and meaningless to do Sirta, to volunteer a chumra, a meaningless chumra, doing Sirta on parchment meant for Sefer Torah Tefillin, so they didn't do it. So Avidan is saying, why is it meaningless? Won't you get a nicer ksav? Well, you get a nicer ksav. Now, it will be practically helpful for the sofer. Otherwise, you end up slanted. You end up going, cutting out space. And number two, it definitely is a din. The Gemara has a din of Sefer Torah not. Sefer Torah, and the Hidur Mitzvah of Sefer Torah. It's not only about what you dress in it. The Gemara says that it's also... it's also the mantle and so on and so forth. It's also what you dress it in, but primarily the Hidur Mitzvah and Sefer Torah is the ksav, to have, the Gemara says, to get a wonderful sofer. I'm not sure, it's a good question. I do not know the answer. Why not? Maybe they were mesartet. So I don't know. I don't know enough about safras. But it could be that Sofrim, how do Sofrim write tefillin nicely? It could be that maybe you just use a ruler. Yeah, so I mean, that's true. Sefer Torah is a bigger piece of cloth. It could be there are other methods. It could be you just use a ruler on top. And then you don't have to start doing anything to the cloth. If there are other practical ways of doing it, that would be a solution. Yeah.
I guess that's the
support for Tosfos and another like comes on Rashi is that the pasuk of Divrei Shalom BMS, it also has the word Svarim in the pasuk, so it would be redundant to pass.
That's a good point. So you're saying it's super redundant. Not only does the word Sefer appear in the Megillah, as well as Divrei Shalom BMS, it's mamish that kemat back to back. It's right, it's an adjacent neighbor. Yeah, so what kind of that brings us back to what you were asking before. So Tosfos solves the problem very nicely by saying we disagree with Rashi. What was Rashi thinking? Today we should call the two of you who are asking how we defend Rashi. We'll call you for today, Yitzhak Zev.
Wow.
Because Revelable Salvation was bothered by the same Rashi. How do you understand Rashi? He has this in the Shiurim. We have the prescribed Shiurim on Kach Mesechtes. When Mesechtes didn't say the Kach involved some of the Kach Mesechtes and other Siddharim. So in Menachas, not Bala Beis, he talks about this. But even better than the Shiurim, the stencils, which are notes of Talmidim, you have it in the Brisker Rav's own Sefer, the Chiddush Amar and Riz HaLevi, the big Sefer, which is officially on Rambam, it's arranged al Seder HaRambam. So he has a piece in, one of his pieces in Hilchus Megillah, Perek Beis, is about this. And this piece actually is about the Rambam, and then we'll take more questions. Because he says, if we found another Rishon who agreed with Rashi, maybe that would be helpful. And in fact, take a look at the Rambam in Hilchus Tefillin. We'll start with Hilchus Tefillin and we'll come to Hilchus Megillah. Perek Aleph Hilchus Tefillin and Halacha Yud Beis. Halacha Moshe Misinai. She'ein Kosvin Sefer Torah v'lo Mezuzah. El Besirtov. Fill in Ein Tzrich in Sirtov. So what do you see so far? Sefer Torah needs Sirtov, which means the Rambam holds like whom? Like Rashi. Okay, so number one, we could add the Rambam to this list. We don't yet know what he thinks about the word MS, but we do know that Rashi and the Rambam both hold that Sefer Torah does require sirtut. But, keep reading, I stopped short there. It made sense, that is what I said made sense. Right? Halacha Moshe Sinai, they say for Torah Mezuzah requires sirtut, but film do not. That would be great, and that would be absolutely adequate. Here's the problem. The Rambam didn't stop there. He could have left well enough alone, but he didn't, because what did he add in the next few words? What does that mean? And what does that do? What does that phrase mean? Because they are covered, right? They're encased. What's encased? The tefillin. And what's Rambam accomplishing by saying that? The reason why tefillin don't need tzirtur is because they're covered.
Mezuzah is also
covered. Good question. You don't need a mezuzah case. You could also, Gemara speaks about drilling a hole in your stone doorway and sliding the mezuzah in. Plus, poskim, the Ramah in the Hilchos Mezuzah in Yerodeya, says the ideal type of mezuzah case is of what color? Guess again. It's a trick question.
Clear.
Exactly. The ideal mezuzah case is of no color. The ideal mezuzah case is transparent, and you see the mezuzah. It is rolled up. Okay.
Even if you put it in your walls.
Okay. So it's intriguing that the Rambam is saying something about the film that applies to mezuzah as well. Moreover, zoom out. What's intriguing about this phrase, b'chalal?
Where does he get it?
So what?
Where did he get it from?
Why should that mean that it should require
sirtut? Why is this a reason? Why is this an adequate reason? Just because it's covered there, but does need sirtut? Another good question. And an even larger question. Jos?
I was thinking like something like that sounds a lot like the Megillah, like the whole idea of the Megillah. Like,
ooh, okay, interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden in the Megillah, but there is Sirtu in the Megillah. But zoom out even more. The Rambam said, why do Sefer Torah and Mezuzah need Sirtut? Halacha Moshe Sinai. Right? So based on that, why do Tefillah not need Sirtut? Because the Halacha Moshe Sinai never demanded it. Period. End of story. We're not sure. Once you dig in, you wonder, what does this reason mean? What is it only true by Tefillah, not Mezuzah? And why is this a good reason? Just because Mechuba there for no Sirtut? But leaving aside all the details, the biggest question is, who needs a reason at all? If you're going to give a reason, we wonder, this seems like an odd reason and a difficult reason. But who even needs a reason? Halacha Moshe Sinai, that's it. Boom. Halacha Moshe Sinai says, Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, and Mezuzah needs Sirtut. We don't make Mamatzinus in Halachos Moshe Mishinai. You only make Mamatzinus from Sukkim. So this is Halachos Moshe Mishinai, Sefer Torah needs Sirtut, and Halachos Moshe Mishinai, Mezuzah needs Sirtut. That's the end of the story. Tefillin don't because they don't. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said that they do. I don't need a Svara. If you're going to give a Svara, you wonder what type of Svara is this. Right. Well, does it indeed only apply to Tefillin, not Mezuzah? And why does the Svara even help? What does it have to do with Sirtut? But most fundamentally, who needs a Svara? Halacha Moshe Sinai. The Brit Sker Rav very subtly asks that question. He doesn't make such a big deal of it, but it's a power. He alludes to that question, and it's a powerful question. Right? The Rambam again says, Rambam gives a tam. The reason why Tefillin is no, Lefi Shehein Mechupin, and that is we could say Kasha number 4. What's with this reason? What does the reason mean? And why do you even need a reason at all? Okay. So far, we looked at the Rambam Tefillin. We discovered the Rambam agrees with Rashi. And we haven't yet gotten any solution. If anything, there are more kashas. Yeah, Yonah. Okay, okay, okay. That's an interesting point. I could push back, though. Because by Mezuzah or by Megillah also, it wasn't just like a Mamatzinu. Well, if it's true by Sefer Torah and Mezuzah, then Misvara should be true here as well. Why does Megillah have Sirtut? Because there's a specific drasha that teaches me this was part of the Takana Drabanan of Megillah's Esther. So I'm not sure. But take a look. You are right. We should look into Megillah. So let's say a little bit the Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Megillah. Take a look. Halachas Tes, Yud Aleph. Did anyone get up to this yesterday in B'charusa? Or no one got this far? Let me get this. Okay, so let's take a look together. Let's learn some Rambam. Let's learn some Rambam. And let's be sensitive, by the way, to location. I know I've said this many times. It's the Brisker Rav is one of those who stresses that positioning and location of a din is so significant in Rambam. So you'll bring a pin up for Halacha Tes. You'll notice, just scanning, here we are in Perek Beis of Hilchos Megillah. There are two Prakim Hilchos Megillah. Prakim Gimel and Dalet Arei Hilchos Chanukah. So you'll notice, we're going to pick up Halacha Tes, Ein Kosvin HaMegillah. You'll notice up until this point, we've been talking also about Megillah, but about the Kriyas HaMegillah. HaMechavim Liva B'Kriya B'Ksiva, HaKoris HaMegillah B'Ta'a, Ein Korin B'Tzibur, so on and so forth. Up until this point, it's all been about what you do, the Maisa Kriya, what you do with the Megillah. And now, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, after a parak and a half, Ram is going to switch from the Maisa Mitzvah to the Chavtasha Mitzvah. Many, you should know, this is a general pair of concepts to be aware of, to be keen on. Usually, the halachas of a mitzvah divide into those two segments. The dinim of the maisa and the dinim of the cheftza. Let's say, when you learn Masech HaSukkah, so the first parak and most of the second parak are the dinim of the cheftza. What makes a kasher sukkah? How tall, how short, what type of schach, how much schach, how about if you have branches and there are trees and you're on a mountaintop, and you're in a valley, and you're in the back of a wagon, v'chulu, 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 v'chulu. And then, daf chav hey, near the end of the second parak, say, now let's talk about what you do with the sukkah. Eating in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah, echilas harayah, echilas kevin, so on and so forth. Dinam of the cheftza, and dinam of the maisa. Talk about shofar, dinam of the chefta, what makes a kosher shofar, and dinam of the maisa, how do you blow a shofar? Tashrat, tashat, tarat, etc. Tvilas kalim, dinam of the chefta, dinam of the maisa. One issue is, which kalim require tvila? That's the bulk of the dinam. Which are kalim that require tvila and which not? What material they're made of, what's their function, who owns them, who used to own them. So that's the dinam of the chefza. And the dinam of the maisa are, assuming that a kli requires tvila, how do you go about tovling? How do you hold it? How about chatzitza, bracha, and so on and so forth? Very, very, very common pair of categories. The dinam of the chefza of the mitzvah and the dinam of the maisa of the mitzvah. So here we're picking up, here we're at the transition from the dinam of the maisa mitzvah that takes us through Perek Aleph and much of Perek Beis. And here, Perek Beis Halacha Tes, we switch the dinam of the chefza. For a couple of halachas, not so many, what makes a kosher Megillah? Halacha, let's take a look at Halacha Tes and Halacha Yud Aleph. Let's take Halacha Yud Beis right back to the dinam of the Kriya. Ein kosher na Megillah ela b'diyo al ha-gevil o al ha-klaf k'sefer Torah. When you write a Megillah, as it's written with diyo ink, and on proper parchment, gevil and klaf are two different types of parchment. The same type of parchment, the same type of ink, they're used for a Sefer Torah. Then it gets into other inks. How about if you write it with me'afatza, with kankanton, with other colors? Some are kosher, some are not kosher. Okay. You're with me in the middle of Halacha Tes? Utzricha sirtut ketorah atzma. Now you have to write with the right parchment, with the right ink on the right parchment, but it also needs, the parchment has to be prepared with sirtut, ketora atzma. Ketora atzma, is that consistent or inconsistent with the sheet of the Ram Hilchus Tefillin? Consistent, right? Because he holds like Rashi, the Sefer Torah requires sirtut, so he says, you need Megillah needs sirtut, ketora atzma, right? That now we know that the Rambam is aligned with Rashi. Right? That's his quote of Daf Tezayin, Ketorah Atzma. Like Rashi, again, Sosis, we're not equating to Mezuzah. He didn't say Kimezuzah. He said Ketorah Atzma. Good. Let's keep going. Then he starts talking about how you prepare the leather, how you prepare the parchment. Ein ha'arshul atzarech la'abed l'shma. You don't have to prepare it l'shma. He tells you how it's written on paper, or it's written on raw hide, ha'yiksuva on the yar, or sheinu me'ubad. Uncured hide, Osha Kesava Akum Apikoros, was written by a Nachri or by a Jew who does not believe in Ikari Hamuna, Psula, no good. Okay. Halacha Yud, he talks about the quality of the writing itself, the quality of the Ksav. Osios Mitushtashas, let's say the letters aren't clear or the letters are torn, and so on and so forth. Let's jump ahead to Halacha Yud Aleph. HaMegillah tzricha shetehe tefura kula. Megillah has to be sewn together. Achu kol oroseha megillah achas. That all the pieces of parchment that compose the Megillah are sewn into a single chefza. This is what we talked about yesterday. The pieces of parchment are mitzuraf to a single unit through the stitching. If you just have a pile of pages, or even if you clip them together, even if they have one of those fancy clips with the two handles, It doesn't count. Even if you stapled it, it doesn't count. Not like these Mar Makabas booklets. It has to be mamish sewn together. Only sewing would be mitzarif all the pieces of parchment into a single chepta. You say, oh, this is a Megillah Shleima. And then he says, so in other words, and by, before I go on, thinking about the Seder HaDvarim, because Rambam is always concerned with Seder HaDvarim, if you think about the Seder HaDvarim from Halacha Tes to Halacha Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph. What's each halacha about?
Preparation.
Right. Halacha Tes is about the raw ingredients. Right. The parchment and the ink. It talks about the ink. It talks about the parchment. Part of the deal of the parchment is what type of parchment is it? Is it parchment or is it raw hide or is it paper? And sirtut also is part of the way you prepare the parchment. Halacha Tes was the raw ingredients. Chomrei Gelem. The raw ingredients of parchment and ink. Halacha Yud was combining those two, the ksiva. Halacha Yud Aleph is once it's already written, how you combine the piece of parchment into a single chefza through tvira. And as far as El Begidin, Kesefer Torah. And it has to be sewn with Gidin, like a Sefer Torah. In Tvar Shalom, Begidin Psula. If it just stitched with flax, linen, or something else, it's no good. But in Otsar Glispros, call all your ear begidin kasefer Torah. Don't the mamish like kasefer Torah, fully begidin. No, the tougher begidin shalosh tefiras, but say your ear, that's enough. Okay, Rama has his own interpretation of shalosh tefiras, but he says, oh, shalosh tefiras is good enough. Why? And the din overall, the Rambam, what's the language of the Rambam? Kesefer Torah. Right? So very nice. The Rambam, very, very masudr, very beautiful. Number one, halacha's tes, yud aleph, in the second paragraph of Megillah, the raw ingredients in the halacha tes, the writing halacha yud, the binding of the pieces of parchment together, halacha yud, gevaldik. And we saw something that was very familiar. He kept equating Megillah to Sefer Torah. Beautiful. Right? And he even said it for Sirtut. He said it for Sirtut. He said it for Tfira. Gevaldik. He even said for the parchment also. Good. Very nice. Very nice. But now we wonder, okay, so the Rambam clearly, the Rambam usually does not tell you drushes. So it's actually, we got lucky. We got lucky. The Rambam actually told us how he actually quoted the drush of Emeth. He didn't quote the whole pasuk, but he referenced it, said, what was his language? How did he reference it? Torah Aksma, right? So Gevaldik, he actually told us, he holds like Rashi against Tosfos. Gevaldik. And what's talking about? But now we're bothered. So now the Rambam is in the same hot water as Rashi. Unless, as a brisker of, you read really carefully. Yo.
All the halachos, when it's comparing it to Sefer Torah, he uses Sefer Torah, but when he's talking about Sirtut.
Wow! You hear what Yonah said? When he said the din of Tfira Begidin, he said, Kisefer Torah. When he said the din of Klaf, he said, Kisefer Torah. Halacha Tes, Tfira, Halacha Tes, Klaf, Kisefer Torah. Halacha Yud Aleph, Tfira Begidin, Kisefer Torah. Halacha Tes, Sirtut, he didn't say Kemezuzah, he also didn't say Kisefer Torah. He said, Ketorah Atzalam, like the Torah itself. Why didn't you just say Kisefer Torah? The Brisker Rav suggests if you're attuned to that diuk and lashon, which Yonah pointed out to us, Baruch Hashem, so then you realize the Rambam is dealing with the same problem that Tosfos is dealing with, namely, why don't we here we equate the Megillah to Sefer Torah using the word Sefer and Daf Yotes, while Daf Tezayin we equated Megillah to Sefer Torah using the word Emes. Rambam is also sensitive to that problem. It's just that he gave a subtler solution. Tosis' solution was very blunt. It must be, this isn't talking about Sefer Torah at all. And that's supposed to be talking about Mezuzah. Lagamri, not Sefer Torah. Whereas Biskrov says, Rambam held, it is talking about Sefer Torah. But it's talking about a different aspect of Sefer Torah. He says there are two different aspects of two different dimensions in which we could compare potentially a Megillah to a Sefer Torah. And he says, one of those dimensions is captured by Sefer. The other one is captured by Emes. The first one the Rambam refers to as Kisefer Torah. The second one the Rambam refers to, the second aspect of a Sefer Torah, Rambam refers when that which the Gemara calls Amita Shel Torah, the truth of Torah, as opposed to the Sefer, the Rambam will say, Torah Asma, Torah itself, rather than Kisefer Torah. And then, all the same, a lot of pieces fall into place. Because that aspect of a Sefer Torah that's being referred to as Sefer is only halfway. Sefer, but Igeres. That aspect of Sefer Torah that's referred to as Emes is fully. Okay, now that's the structure, but what's the content? What are these two aspects of a Sefer Torah? So the Brisker Rav will go a little bit out of order. I'll show you a Yerushalmi. Actually, first I'll tell you what the Brisker Rav says, and then we'll show you the Yerushalmi. Anyone remember what the Brisker Rav says? I don't know. Brisker Rav says, two aspects of Sefer Torah. He says, Kisefer Torah means like the book, a physical document. You want to actually create, you're going to fabricate in the positive sense, You're going to create a Sefer Torah Shavah Heichal. You're actually going to make a physical... A Sofer writes a Sefer Torah. How you create the physical document... And for this translation of the Briskrav as other Nusach, the translation I'm about to use is courtesy of Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik. I liked his Nusach very much, the way he translated it. Says that the first din, Kesefer Torah, means what the way you create a physical document of a Megillas Esther has to be similar to the way you create a physical document of a Sefer Torah. That's what the Rambam refers to as Kesefer Torah, like the book, like the physical parchment, ink, book. And in terms of that, it's chatzi chatzi. Well, it's a sefer, but it's also nigeres. But then the Briskrav says, but there's another aspect of Sefer Torah. Not like a physical, like the way you make a thing called a Sefer Torah, but the text of Chamish Chumshei Torah. The text of Chamish Chumshei Torah, even if it's not written down, that text, that string of words, has certain qualities to it. One of those qualities is when you write down those words, you must be mesartet. That's not about writing a code. Not just you want to write a kosher Sefer Torah. The mashmos and Maseches Gittin is even if you're not trying to produce a kosher Sefer Torah, if you're writing enough of Chumash down on a piece of parchment, maybe even paper, there needs to be sirtut or the equivalent going on. It's a quality of the text. These words, Sefer Breishis, Sefer Shmos, Sefer Yikra, Sefer Midbar, Sefer Dvarim, those words have certain qualities. That's Amita Shel Torah, not a Sefer. Even if you're not producing physical documents, the text, the content of Torah, Amita Shel Torah, Ketorah Atzma, not Ketorah, like Torah itself, that's the other drasha. And that's not limited. How do I know this? This is a nice shtickle Torah, very mechudishtik. But where do you see this at all? The Briskrav is an unbelievable raya. Because right now this sounds a little bit like a pie in the sky. Pseudinim is saying for Torah. Oh, Sirta is not a din in a physical document. Sirta is a din in the text of Sefer Torah. Text of Torah Mechatesi. I don't know. I would have thought that Sirta is a din in how you write it. Briskrav said, look at an unbelievable Yerushalmi. You ready? Buckle your seatbelts. Look at the Yerushalmi. Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph. In Yerushalmi, it's not referred to as Mishnais, it's referred to as Halachos. As an aside, that's probably where the Rambam got his terminology for his own Sefer of Prakim and Halachos, because he adopted the Yerushalmi terminology for talking about Mishnais as well. He refers to what we call individual Mishnais, now refers to using Yerushalmi nomenclature of Halachos. So here we are, Parak Aleph Halacha Aleph of the Yerushalmi. In the standard printing, it's Aleph on the base. Yerushalmi does not start with that base, it starts with Aleph. Take a look up on side. This Gemara is going to show us a fantastic ride from the Yerushalmi. And then we can take a step back and ask ourselves what this all means. But open Machshavti. Take a look. In the middle of the narrow lines, there's a line with a star. The word Ne'emar. You see that? Let's jump back four lines. Rabbi Chelbo. It's either Rabbi Chelbo or Rabbi Chuna, b'shem Rav. Rabbi Chelbo or Rabbi Chuna said the name of Rav. Vayom el nizkar v'nasin. A pasuk in Parak Tes of the Megillah. These days are nizkarim v'nasin. These days are, sounds like remembered and done. How do you remember a day? Well, you can remember. How do you do a day? The day gets done. How do you do a day? I did Tuesday. I've heard of doing lunch. How do you do Tuesday? We're doing Monday today? What do they even mean? So these Amoraim quote from the Rebbe Rav. Nizkarim doesn't necessarily mean to remember. Nizkarim bekriya, like Zohar Shema Shabbos Lakadsho, the Bavli Darshans, doesn't just mean remember, it means to speak. The mitzvah of Kiddush is based on Zohar. So the Yerushalmi says, Nizkarim means the mitzvah of Dibur. Nasim means the mitzvah of Asiya. Nizkarim b'kriya, Nasim b'suda. That's how you know that both Kriya and Suda have to take place on these days. And then the Yerushalmi comments further, self-referentially, says, oh, you know what just happened? Yerushalmi says, do you know what you just watched Rav do? You just watched Rav darshan a pasuk, but it wasn't a pasuk in Chumash. It was a pasuk in the Megillah. He just darshaned in from a pasuk. Yerushalmi says, "Wow, Zoso Merish and Megillah Esther nitnali darish." You see from Rav that the psukim of Esther are darshanable. You can darshan dinim from the psukim of Esther. And then, with that preface, look at the next comment. Rabbi Chelba, Rabbi Yosef, Hashemir Blazer. Ne'mar Khan, Divrei Shalom, the MS. Ooh, that's a familiar pasuk. Ve'nemar Lahalan, MS Kenei, the Altim Kor. A pasuk in Mishle, over there. Lahalan, over there. Deep into Mishle, tell inside the Parakhav Gimel. MS Kenei, Ve'altim Kor. Shalom El tells us you should seek to acquire truth. And don't sell it away. Share it with others, but don't get rid of it. You should seek to amass knowledge and try to make sure not to lose your knowledge. Emes kenei ve'al timkar. What type of emes are we talking about there? So he says, kamita shel Torah. It's the truth of... Harehi kamita shel Torah. If the Megillah calls itself Divrei Shalom, the emes, it must mean emes the same way Shlomo HaMelech uses emes kenei ve'al timkar. Amita Shel Torah, the truth, specifically, of Torah. So number one, before we even go any further, what's the first thing this Yerushalmi teaches you? L'chora. Well, so you can darshan it. We're going to come back to it in a moment. And from the line we just read, MS is Torah, right? This Yerushalmi seems to strongly indicate, like Rashi and the Rambam, against Tosas. We're not talking about... Shalom Melech didn't mean you should buy mezuzahs and don't sell them. Shalom Melech meant Torah. So the Yerushalmi, maybe Tosfos will say to Machlokes Bava Yerushalmi, how to darshan Divrei Shel V'Emes Kamisha Torah, perhaps, but certainly the Yerushalmi is using the same pasuk and same interpretive language, same pasuk of Divrei Shel V'Emes, same interpretive language of Ka'amita Shel Torah, and being that we just quoted Mishle, it's already, as Stan pointed out, quite clear, the Yerushalmi certainly, if not the Bavli, means Torah as a whole, not only the mezuzah. And then watch what happens. So what are we going to learn from this drasha? That's Divrei Shel V'Emes Kamita Shel Torah. So ma zu tricha sirtut, av zu tricha sirtut. Okay, just like Amisha Torah kar sirtut, and here you see it's spelled with a samach. So you know that's sirtut and not shirtut. So too, the Megillah needs sirtut. But then the Yerushalmi goes on. The Bavli only had one drasha. The Bavli only said, Divrei Shel V'Emes teaches you sirtut. The Yerushalmi says the second thing. Ma zu nitli daresh, av zu nitli daresh. Working off what we said before, the Yerushalmi, that's why the Yerushalmi quoted this. How do you know that Megillas Esther is darshanable? Because it's Kamita Shel Torah. So Kamita Shel Torah, this MS, this drasha from MS in the Yerushalmi teaches me two things. The Megillah requires Sirtut, Kamita Shel Torah, and the Megillah's Nitali Darish, Kamita Shel Torah. Now, number one, this further reinforces Stam's point that clearly it's not something unique to mezuzah's Nitali Darish. Clearly, Nitali Darish is a quality of Chumash as a whole. So clearly, the Yerushalmi is assuming, like Rashi and the Rambam, I know it's anachronistic, but the Yerushalmi is a riot to Rashi and the Rambam against Tosfos that Kamitcha Torah means Sefer Torah, not mezuzah. But there's more, says the Brisker Rav. What?
It's Rabbi Chelbo.
Good. Oh, that's a very strong point. Say, in the Bavli was also Rabbi Chelbo. Ah, that's a very strong point. It was on Daf Tezah. Rabbi Chelbo, ironically, in the Bavli, Rabbi Chelbo is the other one. Rabbi Chelbo was on Yotes about Sefer. But clearly, he was thinking about both drugs. It's definitely not Machlokes. We're definitely not going to say it's just a Machlokes Tezah Yotes, because it's the same Amora. A very good point. And what does Amita Shel Torah mean? So it means Sefer Torah. But what about Sefer Torah? Nitna Lihi Darish.
Not how it's actually formulated. But
bingo.
You can do with it.
Bingo. We'll call you Yitzhak Zev Benov. Because Briskarov says The fact that, the psukim of Esther are darshanable, nitnu lihidarish, the same way the psukim of Chumash are darshanable, is that a quality of a physical Sefer Torah? No. Is there a din that Rabbi Akiva wants to make a drush, he has to open up a Sefer Torah and darshan while he's looking inside? No. It's not Kriyas HaTorah. I don't think. If you know the psukim, you may want to double check. It probably makes sense to look inside and double check. But it's not a... You don't darshan the Sefer Torah. You're darshan the text of Chumash. If you know the words Baal Peh, if someone else is going to read it to you, you know the words Baal Peh, the words are darshanable. Darshanability is not a quality of a physical Sefer. It's a quality of Torah Atzma. It's a quality of the text of Sifrei Breishis Shemos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. Torah Moshe is nitnali darish. How you write it, what type of parchment you write on, and with what sort of ink you write it, so those are clearly aspects of the physical document. How you bind it, Tfir Begidin, those are aspects of the physical document. You want to create a kosher Sefer Torah, it's only going to be a kosher Sefer Torah if it's written with the right ink, on the right type of parchment, with and bound together with Gidin. So Megillah, in terms of the physical document, is somewhat safer-ish. It's not fully safer-ish, it's half safer-ish. It does need the same parchment and ink. It needs some of the same binding, but not fully. Making a Megillas Esther, writing a safer Esther, it's sort of a safer and sort of an Igeris. We're not really sure. This is not one of the dinim, but even, let's say, Minig Yisrael, that you have... 1/8, that the way we roll a Megillah is different than the way we roll a Sefer Torah. We don't have two Atzei Chaim for our Megillah. All right, so that's an even more to our untrained eyes. We don't, if we're not sofer, we're not going to necessarily notice, oh, the Tfir is, I mean, okay, they notice the Tfir is different. Even if you did, I mean, maybe you would see sometimes the other colors, but it definitely strikes us that the physical document looks sort of like a Sefer Torah. It looks like a Sefer Torah, but it doesn't have Atzei Chaim. It's rolled differently. Right? The physical document, some have the practice to decorate the cloth. The physical document is sort of like half Sefer Torah and half not. That's not just our intuition. That is the din, the Briskerov says. That's the teretz to all of the kashas. And we equate the Megillah... The how you make a physical Megillah, it's somewhat like the way you make a Sefer Torah. But the text of Sefer Esther is absolutely like the text of Bereishis Shemos Vayikra Bamidbar Dvarim. It's not word for word dictation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't B'nevuas Moshe. That has the same qualities of darshanability and of requiring sirta. So that's Miyashev. That's Miyashev, these kashas. That's me, Ashek, he's cautious. And we'll take questions in a moment. Let's take a step back, Rabbi, and appreciate what just happened. What we see, looking at the board, is number one, okay, so the Rambam is giving fundamentally the same type of parents as Tosfos, but subtler. Instead of saying Yotess is comparing to Sefer and Tazayin is comparing to Mezuzah, it's Yotess is comparing to the Sefer Torah, the physical document, Tazayin is comparing to Torah, the text of Torah. And specifically, a Megillah is fully Torah, but not fully a Sefer. What is that? And again, you see it. We see it when we look at the way the Megillah is presented without two Atzei Chaim. What does that mean? Megillah is fully Torah, but not fully Torah Shebichtav. It's almost right. The content is absolutely Torah content. But the way it's presented as a physical document, as a Sefer, it's not fully a Sefer. Almost like, almost as though it's straddling, it's sort of like 1 foot in the world of, it's fully Torah, but not fully Torah Shebichtav. Almost as though it's like 1 foot in the world of Torah Shebichtav and 1 foot in the world of Torah Shebapeh. And you look at a Megillah and you see that. It's Torah, but it's written a little, it's not fully written Torah.
It's not exactly written like a Sefer Torah, but fully Torah content, which makes a whole lot of sense, because it means that when you look at a Megillah, Rabbi Osai, remember when we started yesterday, I told you, it seems like the most technical of sugyas in the whole Sefer Torah. The sirtut and the ink and the parchment and the and how you, what type of strings you use to stitch it, what can be more technical than that? And now you realize, in the hands of the Rambam, the Brisker Rav, the sugya is telling you that when you look at a Megillah, you see something. If you look at it with sophisticated eyes, you see something that's fully Torah, but sort of like 1 foot out the door of Torah Shavasah. And that captures the history of Purim and the essence of Purim. Because Purim, the nature of Purim is happening towards the end of Golos Bavel, not long before the period of Nevuah is going to end. So Rav Nachman says that Kadosh Baruch Hu really would have canceled Nevuah Lagamri by this point. But in order to smooth the process of being by Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll send Klal Yisrael 3 more Nevi'im, Chagai, Zachari, Malachi, and they will assist Klal Yisrael in coming back to Eretz Yisrael and having the Chizuk to build Beis HaMikdash, as well as some of the technical aspects of Beis HaMikdash. The period of Nevuah is basically over. The period of Nevuah is basically over. And it's not just a historical footnote. The period of Nevuah, we're not going to write Torah, we're not going to write Sifrei Tanakh once we don't have any Nevi'im. Well, because we can't. It's much more than that. It's not for naught that the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, who include Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Mordechai, among others, are the body that are giving final form to the Torah Shebichzav. And they're the ones who are declaring the end of the Torah Shebichzav. The Seder Olam is a history, a Jewish history that was written, ascribed to the Tanna Rabbi Yossi. The Seder Olam writes, Mishamesu Chagai Zechariah Malachi, when Chagai Zechariah Malachi died, again, not long after this period, Batla Nevuah, that was the end of Nevuah, Mikan ve'elach hat azdach alashmo divrei chacham. From this point on, turn your ear even more, tilt your ear to hear the words of the Chachamim. What that means is that we have had Torah Shebichzav and Torah Shebapeh since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. As a matter of fact, the Rambam, in his beginning of his Hakdamah to Mishnais, stresses that Torah Shebapeh actually preceded Torah Shebichzav, because it was transmitted orally to Kali Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu before it was written down, certainly in final form. And throughout the period of the Bayis Rishon, there were drushas that were being made, there were gzeros that were being enacted. There was some creative energy invested in Torah Shebapeh as well. Certainly Torah Shebapeh was being transmitted, but the primary creative energy of Kali Yisrael for the first 1,000 years of Jewish history, the primary creative energy of Kali Yisrael was invested in Torah Shebichzav. That was the period of Nevuah, and Sifrei Tanakh were being written. We continue to learn Tanakh beyond the end of the period of Nevuah, but the primary creative energy of Klal Yisrael and the primary learning focus of Klal Yisrael clearly shifted to Torah Shebapeh. So it's the shift from the period of Torah from the period of focus on Torah Shebichzav to the period of focus on Torah Shebapeh. And the primary creativity in Torah Shebapeh explodes with Anshe Knesset HaGedola. Right? They were the ones who say Asu Sergo Torah. And there's even more. If you peel away another layer of the onion, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin in Yuma that Gemara tells a story based on one of the much of Zechariah is very mysterious. There's a lot of mysterious, very dramatic visions. One of the most mysterious of all is he has this vision of a wild creature that's contained. What does it mean? So the Gemara explains that story is a reference to the fact that the Anshe Knesset HaGedola at the same period of time, they davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, one of the very obvious social cultural differences between the period of Tanakh and not only our time, but even the days of the Baishein already, the dramatic difference in terms of Avodah Zarah.
throughout the period of the Bais Rishon, everyone's worshiping Avodah Zarah. Everyone's like, it's almost like a physical drive for Avodah Zarah. The Bais Sheni, it's gone. The Western world has not been really interested in Avodah Zarah for quite some time. The Jews, even longer. The Bais Sheni, the Jews were uninterested in Avodah Zarah. The Bais Rishon, it's rampant. Absolutely rampant. What changed? So the Gemara understands that passage in Zechariah is given the answer. That the Anshei Knesset HaGedola daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should walk back the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says he did. He did. It switches form. We'll get to that in a moment. The Gemara goes on to say, this part maybe is more famous, this part we mentioned a little bit beginning of Hilchos Yichud, that they realized this was so successful, they said, let's try it again. So let's go for the next big aver. They daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu to walk back the Yetzer for Arayos. And they are successful in the immediate sense, but they realize it's a really bad idea. The way the Gemara puts it, either literally or as an expression, is for 3 days, no chickens in Eretz Yisrael laid eggs. So I don't know if that's meant literally, but certainly it's a way of conveying life cannot continue without a reproductive urge. So the Chachamim at the time realized that's a really bad idea. So they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, let's not eliminate it, but let's blunt it. Let's limit it. Can you limit it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Gemara says that's why lahachila migri inish bekrivte. That's why for the period of Bais Sheni and on, incest is very rare. Rachman al-Tzlan, there are abusers, and there are people with disturbing urges. But the Gemara says, from the period of the beginning of Bais Sheni and on, the Yetzirah for Eishes Ish and for Nida, that's still as common as it was, but Yetzirah for the rest of the Arayos that are relatives, that you see more of in the Tanakh, more stories of that sort, that became much, much less common as a result of this episode. But let's go back to the beginning of the episode. They daven successfully get rid of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to switch it into Yetzahara 4 minus. Yetzahara for apikursus. Avodah Zarah loses its charm. Kfira picks up charm. And indeed, as you see over the course of the Bais Sheni here, from the very beginning, you trace it and pick it up, but early on, you already have, you know, the Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik's Talmud is Tzadok and Baisos. Antigonus Shesochel, some of his he has worthy Talmidim, but Tzadok and Baisus are also Talmidim of Antigonus Shesochel, who found alternative sects, the Tzedukim, the Baisusim, who rejected Kari Emuna. So throughout the period of the Bais Sheni and on, the Avodah Zarah is out of style, Apikursus is in style. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu switched the focus of this Yetzahara from being more experiential and meditative Avodah Zarah, it's almost like a sensual type of Yetzahara, to be more of an intellectual cognitive Kfira, Yetzahara for Kfira. That was the shift that Kadosh Baruch Hu made, Reb Tzadok and others explain, in tandem, Zelu Mazel Aselokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu switched the arena of challenge, both in Kedusha and in Tumah, from a focus on the experiential to a focus on the cognitive. We no longer have Nevuah. And that's a response to, and in tandem with, we're no longer going to have the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah, and Nevuah and Torah Shebichsav is the primary antidote, the Torah Tavlin, for the experiential Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. Cognitive, analytic Torah Shebapeh is the primary antidote to the cognitive Yetzirah, the analytic Yetzirah of Kfirah. Purim is at the crossroads, at one last level. What are we saying? At Purim it marks HaKadosh Baruch Hu is signing off. I'm no longer going to be as begulli. We're no longer going to have Nevuah. What used to be, you found Dvar Hashem primarily by going to Navi, by learning Sifrei Nevi'im that had been written by people who lived in your day, or lived 100 years ago. Now, we're going to continue to learn the Tanakh, but our primary avenue of access to Ribbono Shel is not going to be Taurus Shebichsav, Nevuah, as much as Taurus Rapeh. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu is stepping back into the shadows, Taurus Rapeh, we're seeking to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we need to do much more work. We need to analyze, we need to figure out, we need to understand. That's what the Taurus Rapeh is. It's human hishtadlos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're seeking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's not there talking to us the way he is in the Sifrei Tanakh. That's exactly the change of Hanaga. Throughout the period of the Bayis Rishon, we had so many Nisim Gluyim, and we had Nevi'im. Kadosh Baruch Hu was so obvious. Purim is the marker of when we transitioned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu being less obvious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not directly communicating to us through Nevi'im. Even the Bayis Sheni, there were far fewer Nisim. Certainly after the destruction of Bayis Sheni, you know, things are much more natural. We rarely, if ever, have had Nisim Gluyim over the last 2,000 years. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not directly communicated to us. He's still talking to us, and he's still taking care of us. But we need to do a lot more work to hear the message and to notice the fingerprints. That's exactly the Yontif of Purim and Megillas Esther, which teaches us to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he's in obvious, to notice HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Nisim Nistarim. It's not coincidence that Purim is a nace of is the Yontif of Nisim Nistarim. It's not coincidence. There happens to be the why Dafka the Megillah doesn't have Shem Hashem. Why Dafka Purim is in Yontif of Nisim Nistarim. That is what was happening at that moment. Purim is not just a random moment in time. It is the inflection point between the first 1,000 years of Jewish history when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Begala and he was obvious and Nisim Gluyim and there was Nevuah and the corresponding Yetzirah was experiential, meditative, sensual Avodah Zarah. And Purim is the gateway to stage two of Jewish history. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to choose to step back more. And we're going to, now it's on us to find him. The first 7 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reaching out to us much more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be much more proactive. Beyond Purim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to have to, I'm still there. I'm still watching, I'm still caring, I'm still managing, I'm still holding your hand, I'm still carrying you. But it's not going to be as obvious to you that I'm there. I'm not going to knock on the door and send you a Navi and tell you something. And you're not going to see Nisim Gluyim. I'm still be taking care of you, like you see in the Megillah. You look back over the course of 8-10 years, you see, see HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting all the pieces into place. And Haman walks in just the right moment. Achashverosh walks in just the right moment. And the Sarisim come to pick up Haman just the right moment to overhear the conversation with Zeresh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there. Bixen and Teresh. Everything that needed to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was managing everything, and obviously. That, and all of this Machshava Purim is in the lumdus of Megillah. In the nitty-gritty details of how you stitch a Megillah and how you prepare the parchment, all of that captures, say, Megillah is fully Torah, but not fully Sefer Torah. Because Megillah is one step into the world of Taurus Rapeh. One step in the world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being less obvious, and our HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusting us to do the work to find him. That is some of the Machshava Purim that is captured in what seemed initially like the most technical nitty-gritty of sugyas, and in fact sings with the poetry of Purim.